Mike is corny as fuck.
No. Like boo boo. Okay, that's what they
say. Oh, darn it. Are we on the air?
Are we on the air? Oh, do your song. Do your intro. Go ahead. Make it happen.
Are we on the air? Okay, sorry. I came to bring the parkour to the ooh, baby, what's up? We don't wing it, thing, bang. Mike hates when I'm rapping and I.
Okay, get it out now.
I'm sorry, it's just so funny. But you know, okay, I'm gonna give you guys an example because I can't really like explain it. But it's whenever I'm rapping and I leave out words. Because I can't rhyme them. So I'll do something like this. Yo, I was hitting up the, then I.
Oh, it makes me cringe. It's literally like the bane of my grammatical existence. All right. I just can't stand it. It's so, like there's a word that's supposed to be there. All right. So put something there.
Yeah, but it keeps it going. It keeps the party flowing.
Because you don't know what to say.
I mean, yeah, but okay. That's not, as long as it's not happening throughout the entire rap, I feel like I should be good. I should be allowed those breathers, you know?
Hey, if you swimming and I'm flying.
I am swimming.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, guys. This is so exciting.
We're back. I don't know if you guys saw that movie, but it came out in like 1994. We're back with the dinosaurs. It was a bunch of little white kids, but you know, it was dinosaurs in it. And they all came to life and shit.
Nobody fucking seen that.
Somebody
movie.
Who listens to this is going to know what I'm talking about. All right. It was an animated movie with some dinosaurs and some circus stuff. You know what? We're going to download that and watch it because you don't know what you're missing.
I don't know what kind of childhood
she had. You know what I'm saying?
We're not. This is just another movie. I had
the VHS on deck.
This is another movie added to the list of bullshit that you have ready for me to watch. And it just makes a difference
in our imaginative skills.
I think my imaginative skills are on point. Thanks.
Did I say that right? I don't know if you guys heard it. It was a little pause because I didn't know if
we
I was
could
saying
tell
it
that
right.
You weren't confident. Oh. We can sense it through the mic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, just imagine that I was confident.
Anyway, so we're back, guys, and we have someone who gets to join in on this podcast. Here at, you know, starting at season two, because yes. Technically that's what this is. We did 10 episodes through season one.
Damn, 10 episodes.
Two. I know, isn't that crazy?
Y'all better go back and listen to all of them. Yeah. All of them, every single one of them.
but coming back on season two, we had a baby, you know, you guys remember us talking about the baby and we brought new life into the world.
You can probably hear him cooing and kind.
Yeah, he's going to say hello. You want to say hello? All right, come on, man.
Just don't breathe on the phone, man. I taught you better than that. Where's your manners? Stone.
He was cuckooing a minute ago and now he wants to be quiet. That's fine.
Anyways, son. His name is Stone Noir Orisa.
Oh, yeah.
No, there he goes.
There he goes in the background. He's like, yeah, you hear me, motherfuckers? I'm here, bitches.
AKA Young Snow.
Young Snow. Oh, he is white like snow.
Get out of here. He's going to have a tan.
Okay.
Just like his daddy.
Okay.
We are part of a special lineage of red caramel indigenous people. Yes, this is a real thing. If you don't know about being red caramel, then you just don't know. And that's your loss. I'm sorry.
First off, you're a clown. Secondly, no one gives a fuck. Okay. So this episode, I think, should be mainly about like catching up, you know?
Yeah. It's been, damn, how long has it been? It's been some months.
Yeah. I mean, it's been since before we had him and he is almost 4 months. He'll be 4 months on the 22nd of December. I had him August 22nd, guys, at 2:34 a.m.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Wow. Stone grabbing the whole microphone and tearing it down.
Wait, homie.
He's like, y'all better get me on this episode.
Damn, homie. We just got up in this thing. You just joining the squad. Do you think you already going to run shit up in here, son?
Yeah, I guess so. He's telling you.
He said, yeah, ho. I do.
All right. So, yeah, like you said, we've been gone for a minute. We had a beautiful baby boy. He's over there feeding right now. If y'all hear some suckling, that's him. It's not me.
Oh, it can be you for a small feed. Hey,
let me tell y'all right now. Breast milk is good as hell.
Okay, I don't know about all that.
It's good.
Is it good as hell? Like you could like drink it out of a cup, like a full glass of it?
Yeah.
Nah.
Now it's a lot, or it's more watery than, you know, traditional almond milk, because we don't drink regular milk.
And because I'm not an almond.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
We can start there.
But you got an almond color.
I do.
You see, I threw you a lob and you...
It's quite warm.
You didn't even say thank you.
I don't need to thank you. It's the truth.
Anyways.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but it's quite tasty to me. If you haven't had some, go get you some.
All right. Well, next time, you know what? We got a couple bags in there. So you're going to stop drinking the almond milk and I'm going to go ahead and pour a little in your cereal next time.
I feel like if we continue on and you continue to like pump even... Once he's done, we can just keep you milk ready forever.
Milk ready.
We'll never need to buy a carton of milk again.
Milk ready.
Milk ready. And we'll be set. Like, we'll be the healthiest family ever because we're all drinking your breast milk.
Wow. The family cow has entered the building.
Wait, okay. I didn't even think about it like that. Because we don't drink milk from cows. So, of course, I'm not going to think about it like that.
Right. But definitely not. No. Definitely not going to be squirting me, you know, every fucking morning for a bowl of milk. That's not
going to happen.
How great
would that be?
No, I mean, bro,
like,
that's not
like
great.
You're knocked out and I just come to the side of the bed with a bowl and squeeze on your titty. Hey, I'm sorry, babe. I need some milk.
Wow.
I'm going through the whole journey through my mind right now.
Yeah, and it's trash.
I mean, but it's beautiful at the same time.
You because you're not the one. I have to sacrifice because you know what happens? In the middle of the night when my boobs get full, they're leaking everywhere.
Right. So what we need to do is we need to hook up a transport system so all that milk is not wasted.
So I can't lie on my stomach when I want to sleep.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
We got to figure it out. All these concerns that you got.
You guys, this is the woman's plight. This is our problem. We always have to sacrifice for the male desire, whether it's for milk, for fucking getting fucked in the asshole.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. That's not a sacrifice because I actually enjoy that. But, you know, no. Not using me. Once little man, a year and a half.
Milk is done.
Maybe 2 years. If there's not another baby on the way, the milk is fucking done, bruh.
Dried up.
Dried up like powder.
Death Valley.
Death Valley in these titties.
Cooking eggs on a skillet.
Chill.
Rock.
Chill, homie. All right, y'all. Well, we back.
Okay. So, we have a lot to discuss today.
So much to discuss.
We've, gone through a lot of changes here recently, and we just wanted to give you guys a little lowdown on where we've been, what we've been up to, and where we're at now.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been about 5 or 6 months since we last recorded something.
Yeah, we had to go on a little break because you know, we were approaching the end of my pregnancy, and I was cranky and probably a total bitch. Extremely uncomfortable. Didn't know when the baby was coming.
Just wanted it to happen now. Like,
I know.
Immediately.
And we thought he was going to come earlier than he did. And I think he came like the day before his due date. Ooh, excuse me. So yeah, I mean, we could do a quick skim through.
Okay. I'll let you tell that story. You say how much you want to say.
All right. So this is a quick skim through of the day Stone Noir was born. So it was a regular day. It was a nice, warm August. The wind was blowing. Oh, you're so good at this. You're great. I love you. No, it was a regular day, you know. I think 2 days before I had just, I had gone into the doctor to get a membrane sweep. And that's where they like, the doctor sticks her fingers in your hoo-ha and kind of lifts up the sac a little bit. She does it. She sweeps your membranes basically. And they say that that can, if the baby's ready, that that can help, you know, bring the baby faster or I guess just push things along. Sorry, y'all. Hopefully he's not interrupting my story because he gets a little fussy on the titty sometimes. Anyway, go get that done. 2 days later, feeling real crampy, bleeding a little bit. It's funny because of all the days that I decided to go into birth. Wow, you're really bugging, bro. Can you chill out for a minute? I decided to eat a huge burrito. I decided to eat a big ass fucking burrito.
Oh, forget about that.
The whole cheesy ass thing. I mean, I went in on that burrito, and that it showed itself later when I was shitting on the table while giving birth the entire fucking time. So, anyways, 7 o'clock approaches. I'm feeling a little crampy. I'm noticing that they're pretty consistent. I'm thinking maybe I'll just go take a poop because I knew I ate that burrito, and you know. I'll be fine. Turns out wasn't fine. I was in labor. Things started off really smooth. Our intention in the beginning was to have a home birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we started. We lit candles. We had lots of affirmations all over the room.
Music playing.
No, I mean,
not a light was on. It was all candles.
It was hella. It was a mood in there.
It
felt really good.
It was a vibe.
It was a total vibe in there. It felt great. And so I labored at the house for about 7 hours. For about 5 hours. Got into the bathtub. Michael was basically pouring.
By this point, they were getting worse, or you know, more intense. And so Sid got in the bathtub, and I'm pouring water all on her, down her back, anywhere the water would flow.
Anywhere. I mean, in my eyes. I mean, the pain was everywhere at this point. Yeah. Like. It was pretty fucking excruciating at that point. And the only thing that I felt like helped was either counter pressure on my back or if I had like hot ass water just like to ease in the pain. So we did that for about an hour or so, got out of the tub, and then we were just kind of feeling like, where is this going? Mm-hmm. Like, when is he coming? And I was told by my doctor previously that I could go get checked in the hospital and that they would allow me to go home, which now I'm thinking that she was just trying to play me because she wanted me in the hospital. You know, like when I was telling her that I was going to do a home birth, she was extremely fearful. She wasn't really trying to have it. Anyway, so Mike is like, hey, let's just go in. Let's see where you are. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm down for that because I'm feeling really out of control right now. And at this point I'm done. Like my body is like shaking uncontrollably.
Yeah,
the car ride there was fucking out of control.
Even before we got to the car, like walking
to the car. I mean, I practically collapsed in the middle of the street.
Like I had to hold her up while she went through her, contraction and cars going by and stuff. I mean, it was definitely an experience.
Yeah. Middle of the street, just like going through something. So drive around because I just couldn't even pull myself together. It hurt so bad. We get to the hospital finally. And by the time I get there, they, you know, are checking me, but I'm in so much pain. I can't even be held down because the shit is so intense. Yeah. And, you know, they keep telling you that you have to breathe a certain way. But, you know, when you're in that kind of pain, it's not possible. You know, you're doing what you got to do. Just fucking survive. So I get checked. And yeah, by the time I'm there, I'm probably like 6 centimeters already. So there really was no going home. Get up to the room, get checked. And I feel a shit coming on. So I take a shit on the table. And that's when I knew I was getting close because I could feel my body, like I could feel a stone like bearing down on me. And so at this point, I'm begging for an epidural, which I had told Mike prior to this day, no matter what I say, don't ever let me get an epidural. Like, I don't care what I say to you. I don't care if I'm going to divorce you. Don't let me get it.
yeah, it was that kind of serious.
Yeah, it was real. But shit, in the middle of that, in the middle of those contractions, I mean,
that pain was talking sweet nothings in her ear.
It really was. It was whispering to me. It was touching me softly.
Get the epidural.
Get the fucking epidural. You know you need it. Yeah, it was terrible. And so I looked at Michael with tears in my eyes and I'm like, I know what I said.
They were angry tears.
Yeah, like, I was pissed.
She wasn't having like nothing I was doing, not rubbing her back, trying to console her and my words. I even went so far as to start playing
Abraham Hicks.
Yeah.
Which is like my favorite like spiritual teacher.
She didn't do shit.
Yeah,
she didn't do a damn thing. You know, shout out to you, but it didn't help at all in my current predicament. So it was really just luck. Like, she requested the epidural, but by the time anybody was available to come and make that shit happen, Stone was already on his way out.
Stone was on his way out. A lady was like, yo, I feel like he's about to come. Let me just check you. And Michael's like, please. And he just let her check you.
She didn't even want to get checked.
I didn't want to get checked. I was mad. I was angry. It was just, I wasn't having it. So they pushed me down on the bed. She checks me and she's like, oh, his head is right here. So I was just like, boom, let's do this. Did a lot of pushing. His head finally popped out. And then my nigga's shoulder got stuck and chaos just fucking was insane. They called in like 8 other doctors and nurses.
It happened out of nowhere. Like, it was probably like 4, maybe 5 doctors in there just randomly around the room. And then when the shit hit the fan, they like all like converged on her. Got this big dude holding her leg down and pressing down on her uterus and stomach and all this shit. And then everybody's holding legs and nobody's really saying anything.
Everybody's screaming at each other.
Yeah.
Really. I felt like
they weren't a cohesive unit. And
it made things worse. Like, I didn't know what was going on. My mom is screaming. Mike was probably the calmest person in that goddamn room.
You know what I'm saying? That's just how I am.
Don't play yourself. No, I will. I have to like pat him on the back for that, because I could just like hear him next to me, just like, Sydney, chin to chest. Chin to chest, Sydney. While everybody is like going nuts in that room. It just felt fucking crazy. So anyways, Stone finally pops out after all the ridiculous pulling and pushing, which I have to speak on this because it's important to me. I never wanted to have a baby in the hospital, okay? I don't trust the hospital. I think that it's a scam. Maybe that's the wrong word, but... and so before, you know, like, or while I was pregnant, I was doing a lot of research on like, you know, what could happen, what, like all the bad things that could happen, you know, while giving birth. And one of the things they talk about is shoulder dystocia. That's when the baby's shoulder gets stuck in your pelvic bone. The first thing they say to do is to switch positions. If I rotate my body, I can rotate the baby. Why wouldn't a fucking doctor know that? Why wouldn't an OB know that? Why wouldn't the fucking hospital know that? Instead, you've got everybody pulling and pushing on this little boy's head. And when he comes out, he's so bruised up. It was so bad. And another thing, all the things that I had like, you know, signed up for and asked for, like skin to skin or delayed cord clamping or, you know, like all that shit, I didn't get any of it. They immediately cut his cord. Everybody's in a panic. They took him away from me. Probably didn't get to see him for like another, I don't know, like 2 or 3 minutes, which maybe to you guys, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But when you just push a baby out, you're kind of like, where is my nigga? Like, what's the problem? You know? And so, like, initially, I think that I was whatever about the situation. Like, I was frustrated while it was happening, and then I kind of let it go. And then I didn't realize until afterwards, like, how much I was affected by, like, the birthing process and, like, what happened. And then it's so crazy because now when I see other women online, like, you know, giving birth, like, it's hard for me to watch, and it makes me extremely emotional because I feel like I had a pretty traumatic experience. Like, I feel like it wasn't so traumatic. I know women go through a lot more, but I think that when you have a baby, you just really want the best for your kid. and you want them to have a peaceful entrance into the world. And I feel like his entrance was just kind of like, it was trash. It was just all over the place. But you know, I am extremely happy that he's healthy and he's here.
Thriving. He went from, during this conversation, he went from one titty to the other titty, still eating.
Still fucking eating. Looking up at me like, bitch, is there some more milk in here? Because you're looking pretty empty. No, but he's an extremely amazing kid. And he's doing really, really well. And that's really all I can ask for.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was our process. That was the birth. So we went from living in a studio to Long Beach to living in a 3-bedroom in Nevada. Yes. Life's good.
Man, we had to make that jump, you know. I mean, there was other options on the table. We were looking at Texas, we were looking at Atlanta. Where else were we looking?
Texas, Atlanta. We kind of thought about Portland for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, we wanted something that was still close enough to family and then still had a bunch of stuff that we would want and need. And we made a good fucking bet because this place, Henderson, Nevada, is the shit.
Yeah, we're fucking loving it.
Yeah.
Like, we really love it. It's like, it's a mixed crowd here, you know, it's very diverse. I kind of feel like I'm at home. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel like we went anywhere.
I definitely say, I mean, from my perspective, it might depend on who you are, because I hear people say, you know, Vegas is weak or is boring out there. And they say all this shit about LA. And I guess I'm kind of biased because I never had a chance to experience what LA could be because I was gone, you know, in the Navy for 8 years. So I don't know everything that LA has to offer. But to me, it's the same shit.
I don't know. Well, I can't, having lived in Los Angeles for so long, but you know, it's hard to say because we did just get here, so I don't want to speak too soon, but it feels a little suburbish out here right now. You know, like, we're near all these little shopping malls and then there's all these nice complexes everywhere, but the thing about LA is it's just like so boutique-ish. Like, there's all these little thrift shops. There's all these brunch spots. There's cute restaurants to go to. There's a lot of, like, there's just different stores everywhere. There's just different shit to do. There's so many open mics all the time. There's a lot of shit going on. And then I kind of feel bad because while you were here, you know, for that short amount of time, I didn't really, you know, I didn't really get to show you. Place. Okay, let's not.
I always had a running list and never did any of it.
We had a running list for restaurants. Okay, I took you to Harvell's in Santa Monica.
You did do that. Yeah, that was cool.
I took you to multiple brunch spots. A couple. We've done a couple things.
No, we did.
But you have to understand, I'm not who I was like back in the day. Like, there was a time where I was like exploring and doing a lot, but now I'm a little older and I just like brunch.
Going through changes.
Wow. So yeah, I can't really say that it's the same. It's not the same yet. I think once we make friends and then we check out the art scene, then I can see what it's like. But
yeah.
LA has a huge, I mean, there's a lot of little shit going on.
Well, the dope part is that we're still a 4-hour drive or a 45 minute, if that, fucking plane ride. So
it doesn't to get back home.
It doesn't even feel like we've really been gone because we've been back in LA like quite often.
Yeah. And people have visited us.
Yeah.
So it's like no break.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, we both got some work from home positions. So we are living life here at home and enjoying that. If you have the opportunity, I say try that shit.
Yeah, I fuck with it. You know. I mean, I can't really speak on it the way you can because you have like a real work from home job. Okay. And my work from home is like, I chime in when I can, you know.
Hey, it's still something, baby.
No, it is. I mean, my work from home job is, the main one is taking care of Pup. And then my second job is the job.
which, you know, sometimes I have an internal struggle with because I get to work from home and the whole point of that was to be able to be as close to my family as possible. And I'm here, but sometimes I'm so focused or, you know, really busy doing what I'm doing and I'm back in one of the other bedrooms and I might not see them for hours unless I just, you know, I make sure to get up and come see them and stuff like that. So that does get hard because I feel like pretty much everything is being left to Sunny to take care of while I'm working. And I guess it would be like that if I was gone and working at a physical place. But, you know, it makes it, you know, stand out more for me now that I am home and I still, and she's still taking, you know, all that weight.
Yeah, but you do a really good job of like checking in. And sometimes if I need like a good 10 minute, 20 minute, 30 minute break, you'll take the baby, you know, and you wouldn't be able to do that if you were gone. So it's really helpful. And then we get little moments like today we went and grabbed lunch, you know, and went and returned stuff. And that's what I love to do. I love to return shit. So that was okay. You guys listen to this real quick. There's no better feeling than buying something and then getting the money back for it. Like there's no better thing than realizing like you didn't need this and then getting money back. Like it's just something about it. It's just like, oh, look. No more, what do they call it? Buyer's remorse?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It feels good to me. But I honestly, there are moments where I feel like you are back there for hours, especially because yo ass, you're a fucking overachiever sometimes. I mean, especially with work, like you just get into a tunnel vision and it's like 2 a.m. and it's like, bro, I thought we decided to have a schedule for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, well, granted, that's a recent thing where I have like 7 alarms on my phone to make sure I stick to a schedule. Otherwise, I'll get so tunnel vision and yeah, I lose track of everything.
Makes no sense. He gets so tunnel vision. He won't have lunch and then he'll come. He'll take like little random breaks here and there, but they're like for 5 minutes. And then the next thing you know, he's working till 2 a.m. in the morning. That's a no. We're not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But I mean, aside from that, it is nice to just be able to go back there real quick. Like today,
she brought me breakfast.
Oh, I did. I for the first time, I made vegan pancakes.
They were bomb.
First time I've ever made pancakes.
What's the brand? Lumberjack?
I don't know.
I don't think that's it, but we'll make sure we share it on somebody's social media.
Yeah, but I definitely added my own bits and pieces in there. So
there we go.
Add a little bit of cinnamon in that bitch, a little bit of brown sugar in that
That's
bitch.
Why it was so good.
It was fire. yeah, but that's not what I was saying that I interrupted you to watch Will and Jada's Red Table Talk.
Man, talk about it. Go ahead.
Hey, yo, you know, I'm not going to lie, though. When Jada first came out with the Red Table Talk, I feel like someone gave her my idea. Because you guys know we used to do On the Table Talks and it was very similar to that. It was just with larger groups and we got very real about like our shit. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jada Pinkett motherfucking Smith with the Red Table Talk. And of course, when you're famous, you know, your shit fucking flies off the handle and it's, you know, worldwide. But it is awesome. And I did get hooked to it. But anyway, so yeah, we watched Will and Jada's episode today. And I realized just how much me and Mike are Will and Jada.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely not 5'3". I'm more like 6 feet. but our relationships are so similar. And I don't know. Like, what'd you think of them?
I thought that it was... I mean, how they felt about marriage and relationships. Like, I think I felt the same way as Will in the belief that I wanted a family and I wanted it to be a certain way when I was younger. You know, those are kind of my expectations. And it wasn't until I got older, went through a couple of things in relationships that I realized, I don't know if I really care about the construct of marriage and all that stuff. Like I kind of like the idea of being able to be free, but still be with the person that you want to be with. And so their whole dynamic was really dope. And, you know, I never really believed in any of the, rumors and stuff that people said about them.
I thought they were swingers.
I mean, they might, like, you know, I don't know. They said they're not.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I believe them, but prior to them.
Yeah, it was a plausible thing.
Them, yeah, I thought that they were.
Yeah, what I didn't realize is how much Will's like idea of what he wanted for his life had impacted his entire family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kind of made me take a second and start thinking about, where do I do that?
Right.
You know, how much of me or what my expectations are, or what I see for myself in this world, have affected you guys, you know, and how that may be making you feel a way. Cause you know, we've had talks and I've seen you go through a lot of emotional changes, especially since having the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just kind of made me start to think, like, how much of this shit is really me, and how much power do I have to change all that and make it better? And then how do I do that without making it about me?
You know, it's interesting that I kind of feel like you do that. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm probably wrong. Like, when it comes to me as a creative, I feel like there's so many times you were like pressuring me or pushing me. Oh, go do this. Go grab this. What about this? And I felt like, you're trying to make me do this for who? Like, it's not like I'm not interested in this right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not what I want. Even though, I mean, like, part of, I mean, you know, I don't know if that is your like idea of just like, oh, you know, having this creative wife and creative life and we're just these free people. And of course, I mean, I guess we both want that. But at the time, I wasn't ready for it. You know, like, I wasn't there in my mind. And sometimes I just wanted to like push you the fuck away and be like, please, I need space to get there. Like, you trying to push me into that direction is not helping me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I just felt like this was something that was a really big part of your life before I came in the mix.
Yeah.
And then I came in and then part of me felt like I was a cause for you not being about that life anymore. I mean, until I learned more of your history and learned like it's like an ongoing thing. A bunch of other factors contributed to it. But, you know, I do realize, and I have known for a while, that I am I have a fixer personality.
Absolutely.
And so my most favorite person in the world, you know, I want her to be happy, and I want you to be able to express yourself however you want, and to have that feeling that you described to me when you talk about your creative stuff that you've done in the past, you know, like all the things that you used to do that brought you so much joy, like you were on. And me seeing you here, you know, get frustrated and sad and, you know, cry that you aren't at the place that you used to be, or that you haven't, you know, figured out what that was and brought it back and start taking it further. So any opportunity I have to push you into that direction, you know, I'm trying to jump on it and make it happen.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. Like, trying to trying to force me to like go buy canvas, or, you know, like when you initially bought the camera, you know, like shit like that. It's just like, look who ends up using the camera, like you did, because I just am not there anymore. And then the canvas, I was really excited when you bought the easel, and I have used it or whatever, but I don't know. Like, it's, I don't do well under other people's like pressure, you know, like if it's not my own pressure, I'm like self-motivated, I guess, you know, and I guess I just need to go through the shit until I come out on the other side. And when you are like pushing me in that direction, it kind of makes me want to rebel, you know,
which is crazy. Cause it's like, why is that the reaction? Like, you know, I'm all for, you know, being a rebel or rebelling, when you're being pushed in a direction,
against the system, but why against you? And it has to do, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I just feel frustrated because I'm not ready and you keep trying to make me ready.
Mm.
And so it angers me. It's like, I don't know how many times I have to tell you I'm not ready. Like, if I was ready, I would be ready. You would see it. You don't have to make me like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, before you came, I was like that already. I can handle that. I would go get my own canvas. I would get up in the morning, go do this, go do that. I don't need you to set that up for me. It makes me feel like a child, you know? Like, it makes me feel like controlled. And I don't like it. I want to be able to do things when I'm ready, when I say, and I'm not ready.
I guess that speaks to like what they were saying in the Red Table, how they decided or what ended up working for their marriage is that they had to let each other do their own thing. And
even if they didn't agree with it.
Even if they didn't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like be okay with, okay, this is stuff that I like to do. I can do them by myself. But I mean, they said at certain times of the year.
They would like, share that experience. They would share. Sacrifice, yeah.
Sacrifice, share that experience, regardless if they liked it or not.
Right.
I mean, I thought that was a dope thing.
No, I did. I really liked that part of it. When they were going in at the end of the talk, they tied everything together. And I really appreciate where they are. Like, I have had this idea with our marriage. And this is going to sound bad for, I guess, people listening, but I've always just considered divorce. Like, not that I want to divorce you or just that, or like that I see us being divorced, but I've always just had it in the back of my mind that, okay, I will. Like, you know, like if I have to, I will leave. And if he does this, then I will leave. And I think that kind of sucks that I've just always like let that sit in the back of our relationship. Like, an alternative to what we have. And I think that that makes things hard for us. And I really appreciate you because you've always been the opposite, like kind of like Will, like it's not an option. Divorce is not an option. You know, like
we're
going to make this shit work.
I don't even think about it in the sense that like, I've already decided that you're the person that I want to be with. So no matter what, there's, like it, when I really think about it, for me, there's not too many things. There's really nothing that could happen that's going to make me not want to be with you or be together under the same roof in some capacity.
that was I really liked when they said that they threw out all the deal breakers.
Yeah.
There are no deal breakers. Like right. There's nothing you can do. I really got down with their relationship and it made me want to just like tie my shit up and stop looking at the option of divorce when I feel like put in a corner, you know, because it's really just fear-based,
yeah.
You know, I have divorce in my mind as like a way out, you know, like it's like my protection just in case, like,
and the crazy part about it is that you go from not even really caring about marriage or thinking of marriage as a, you know, a reality to being in one and then having that divorce button ready to press.
Right. I think it's a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think it's just that I'm so afraid of being completely vulnerable, even though I am, you know, like in this relationship, I'm pretty much wide open. And I think that divorce is my last little, like, it's my last little, like, fuck you, nigga. Like, don't play me.
But what's crazy is it, when you think about it, it doesn't even matter because you're never going to get married again if we weren't together. So
why not just stay married?
Yeah. Like even if we weren't together, like it didn't matter.
Yeah. But you know what I always say? Like, you never know. You didn't think you were going to get married again and you did.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you yeah. know, you never know. And I think that I'm just so I just have like this big weight on my chest of like, there's just always other options in the world. And I just love that like Will and Jada have this thing where it's like, no, like it doesn't even matter. Like it's so unconditional for them. Like, and I really believe their love. Like it was even when shit got really bad, like she was talking about like her 40th birthday, shit got so rough. And, you know, the tabloids talked a lot about them divorcing, but how divorce was not even an option, even in the roughest of their times. Like it's not even something they think about,
yeah.
You know? And that's how I want us to be, even though, of course, I don't believe in the construct of marriage. But at this point, shit, we in this thing. So
right.
There's no point in exiting. But I like the idea of us as a union being tied together and there are no deal breakers. Like, I'm going to have your back forever, forever and ever and ever and ever.
I mean, it's how I feel already, which is it's kind of actually a double-edged sword for me because I already feel that way. Right. I don't think about divorce. I don't think about us not being together. Like if you decided that you didn't like me enough anymore, we still staying in the same apartment or house or whatever. You can have whoever you want. They just got to know that they're going to have to deal with me being here.
And you know what I think it is? it's not that I don't think I'm going to feel the same way about you. I think that you're lying. I think that it's like, how can I, like, are you, is it true? Like, how do I believe you? Are you really going to feel like this about me in 10 fucking years when all these bad young bitches are walking around? Are you really going to be like, I'm still going to stick with you? I don't know if I believe you.
I'm sorry to break it down like this, but it honestly is all the same up to a certain level. Like, personalities and all that shit, you know, they vary, but you being a woman, me being a man, I'd like to break it down to the itty gritty bitty bottom boop the bops. You know what I'm saying? Like, I break it all the way down to this most basic level. And do I fuck with you the long way?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, do I really enjoy your company? Do I really, am I passionate about your experiences in this world? Am I passionate about your existence in this world? And if I can say that, yes, without a shadow of a doubt, like, you make, you help me be a better person, and I appreciate you for that on all these different levels. And take it a step further. It's not even just what you can do for me. It's the fact that when I look at you, I see you shining in your own way. And if I like the way you shining, then I'm rolling with you.
Okay.
Even if you're not at the level that you're supposed to be.
Right. And I think that's what the problem is. I'm not at the level that I'm supposed to be. So I'm finding it hard to believe that you can see me shining.
Look, you are still a sun. You're still bright as fuck. I could just look at you now. That's all that is.
So I'm dim.
No, I got glasses on, or I'm inside looking at you through the window. Okay, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you just tried to play it.
You are your own. You control your own brightness. You know what I'm saying? No, you're still the sun. You're still shining, but you control your own brightness. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, you're a rare one. And I guess that's what, you know, we're all obviously all damaged by our past experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's clearly what my problem is. I'm just used to a whole bunch of conditional ass niggas. And now that I'm in a relationship where I have somebody, who's seen me. Oh, I mean, and you know me better than any of them. Like, you've seen me at my worst and you still are here and rocking. I don't know why I'm just finding it so hard to believe, you know, but
I mean,
I'll get there.
If you think about it, it goes to how you feel about yourself. I mean, because they're irrelevant.
No, I agree. I mean, but we know this already. We've talked about this. I mean, you guys are pretty much hearing us have a very personal moment right now. But yeah, it's definitely how I feel about myself. But that's what I'm saying. I know that I'm not shining. I'm the one stopping my shine. I'm completely aware of that. And that's what the problem is. That's why I'm so angry with myself. That's what hurts. You know what I'm saying? Is the fact that I'm the one stopping my shine. And I feel like I don't have the ability to turn it back on. And I'm trying.
So how do I help you? Like, I know some people feel like, oh, well, you should just know what to do and makes it mean more. But
no, not in a situation like this. Yeah, I mean, that goes back to, first of all, with you wanting to be a fixer. And I told you before that I don't want to be fixed. That's not, I don't like that kind of shit. I don't need anybody to help me, you know? And even with what Will and Jada discussed, he mentioned, I retire. I'm leaving you to, like, go fly, Pelican. You need to find out how to make your own self happy. And then you come back and bring that happiness here.
Yeah.
I need you to stop trying to make me happy. Mm. I mean, no, let me just.
Like, you are on your own. I'm not doing shit for you no more. Any dishes I messed up?
Like, I mean in the way of, like, trying to make me see myself.
Yeah.
Do things because you want to, you know, like, out of the kindness of your heart, like, oh, I, you know, want to cook and I want to do little things because it makes you happy, like shit like that. But as far as, like, trying to make me happy internally with who I am, you can't do that.
Mm.
You know, I can only do that. And I mean, you know, I've always been very self-aware and I'm aware of that. I'm aware of where I stand and I'm doing the work. You know, I'm doing the work. It just takes time. And creatively, I'm just having a very hard time finding myself. And there's just been a lot of shit going on. Like you said, I just had a baby. And so hormonally, I'm still collecting.
Yeah.
I'm still, like, coming back to myself. So I'm trying to find out. I was already fucked up before Stone got here. And now Stone's here. So now I have to rediscover myself as a mom and as who I am now. you know, like, mm-hmm. and I think it's just very like, I don't know. Social media fucks me up. Parents fuck me up. Friends fuck me up. Marriage fucks me up. I just feel very consumed by all things from all angles. And I'm just trying to understand like where I stand, how I feel about things, if how I feel is right, you know, and then move forward from there. So no, you can't help me, you know, mm-hmm. I just want you to continue to be how amazing you are and loving me. But you can never help me be happy. Only I can do that.
Yeah. I am learning in this relationship that, patience in any relationship is an important thing, but you really do have to subscribe to the idea that patience even when you want your partner to be better, to feel better, to be happy, as happy as they can be, you really have to be patient and not try and like jump at the bit to do anything that's going to help move that along faster. Like it has to be at whatever pace it naturally flows at and let everything fall into place. Like you can still be present and, you know, provide input if asked, you know, right? If asked, like that.
Right.
But don't try and preemptively make things happen.
Right.
You know,
trying to push me towards happiness just pushed me in the other direction. I think that was maybe our problem in the beginning, was me just feeling the pressure to be happy. Like, Sydney, you have to be better or else he's not going to want you, or else, you know, and I feel like that's also the direction it went in. It was just like, oh, Sydney, be better, be better. And it was like, oh my God, I'm not better. And then that weighs in on me too. And it makes me feel more fucked up. And in the end, I just throw my hands in the air and I'm just like, well, fuck it. Fuck you. Fuck me. Fuck everybody. I don't care, you know? And I love to get in that place. I love to get in the I don't care place, you know, because I'm lying. I hate that place, but I will get in it. I'll slide right in that bitch.
And I guess I don't help things when, you know, just me being how I am, kind of like if I'm not dying, then nothing is bad kind of personality.
Oh, man, y'all, we got fucking, I mean, it's the worst, dude. If I'm not dying, then nothing is bad. Yeah, true. I mean, in that, it's like, I honestly would love to have that disposition. I would love to feel that way. If I'm not dying, then then nothing's bad. But then you've got like the depressed girl over here dealing with Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. And it's like, nothing is ever wrong, like ever. And not that I want things to be wrong, mm-hmm. but then sometimes I just feel like, are you just not including me? Are you just not coming to me? Do you feel like you can't talk to me? But no, really, this nigga just be like, oh no.
There's a bunch of times where I'm stressed or where I feel like I wouldn't necessarily call it depression, but I am a little frustrated with my current predicament. But it's always on some stuff that you just walk in and like handle. Like, so it, like, that's what makes you such an important piece in my existence, is because even though I feel that way, like if I'm not dying and nothing's wrong, in those moments, there's still situations where emotions take over me and I don't really know what to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And I try to make sure that I come to you, you know, but sometimes in the back of my head, I'm like, do I really want to bring this to her? Like it's like my own internal struggle. 'Cause it's like, dog, you know, this is not really that big a deal, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure Sunny would appreciate being included in that experience.
I would. And I think that my best work okay. with self is when I help other people, or when I like talk it through with other people. Like that's when I think that's my thing, you know, like that's become the thing that I'm good at, is just like helping people like see the light in themselves, you know, or in a situation. I mean, you know, I'm good at that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Don't play me. You know, I like to be needed too. And I think that sometimes I just feel like you are like nothing. Like, it's just like, I'm the needy one. I'm the only one who like has problems or who goes through anything, you know?
Yeah. No, you're not alone, baby.
Okay. Yeah. But like, I was talking to my friend the other day. Don't know if I should mention names, but yeah, he, you know, texted me and was reaching out just about like feeling like there's like all these obstacles, and he was just feeling like really down. Like he was frustrated with himself because he's like, I feel like I've done this work before and now things are coming up from the past. And I feel like I've already did this and I'm mad at myself because I clearly haven't jumped over the hurdle. And then I basically talked him through it. And it was crazy because I was talking to myself the entire time. It was like, damn, this is exactly how I feel right now. But I was able to give him like all these bars, and it was exactly what I needed for myself. So I like for people to come to me with my shit. That's why I started On the Table Talks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I'm fucking good at. So you fucking come to me with your shit. You understand?
Hey, call in, message. I mean, we both have social media accounts, you know, and Sunny likes to disappear every other day.
I have to disappear. I'm very dramatic.
Yeah, I really want her to, and you see, that might be something that I'm pushing on her.
Dun, dun, dun.
But I really like the idea of if she's using social media, and it is, I mean, it can be an addictive platform, but if she's already on it and using it, then let it be a beacon for people to come and talk.
He wants me to be a social media influencer.
But for herself and for people who, an avenue for her to be able to help heal herself as well as help heal other people who may be going through similar things, or just for her to be able to, she can understand shit. Like she can feel it and she can understand and she can say words, pull them up out of the urn of truth. And did you see what I did there?
I did. I liked it.
Ooh. And like really give them something that they can take away and immediately apply to their lives. And me, you know, I'm not like that. I don't have that.
It's okay. But you know what? You have it with me.
Exactly.
Because his name is Snacks. Snacks took me to Red Lobster.
Okay.
On a very sexy date. No, I'm just kidding. We went to Red Lobster the other day because we were fucking craving. I don't know. I've never been. He wanted me to try the biscuits. Okay. And so we went to Red Lobster for the first time as it was closing. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And we had a goddamn emotional ass, deep ass therapy session.
At a table at Red Lobster.
All right. Corner of Red Lobster.
I can see the goddamn lobsters looking at me.
Yo, I'm like crying at Red Lobster because this nigga was just really, you were giving it to me that night. You can't say that you don't got it like that, because you were talking me into a whirlwind of tears. Okay. Like I felt so inspired after leaving that fucking little corner in Red Lobster. I'll never forget that corner. No, I won't.
We got to go back and take a picture.
Go back. Frame it. For real, because I was special. No, but you do. When it counts, you do. You get in there when we have our little convos. And you know what? I realized your way of asking for help is you'll be somewhere and you'll be like, baby, just give me words of encouragement right now. You'll just randomly text. And I might not even know what's going on, but I'll send a long ass text about how great he is and how he manifests his fucking life. And it's, yeah, that's funny.
Well, that was when I went to Mexico.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
I think that was the first time.
In a while.
Well, I don't know. I don't, for whatever reason, I don't remember doing that before. Like in that way.
When you used to work for the other place in El Segundo.
Yeah.
You used to ask me multiple times because you fucking hated that job.
Yeah.
And there was a few times where you were like, please just tell me and make me feel better right now. Tell me something. And I would just send you like a long ass, I would just be going in, like, yeah, not even know what the problem is, but like, hey.
Sometimes y'all gotta, all the time when it's needed, make sure y'all do that for your significant others. I've learned in this relationship that you have to be present in that relationship. Like you have to, even if you don't know, you know, exactly what to say, just telling them that you love them and that, you know, everything's just
speaking life into them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speak up what you are, what they know and what you know about them and how great they are. You know, just tell them what they already know. You know, it doesn't have to be long or whatever or poetic. Just make sure that they know that you're there and that you're available and that you hear them calling out. Calling.
Wow.
You know?
That was great, Pop.
Thanks. She thinks I'm an old man.
You are an old ass fucking man.
I like me some oldies.
He does. Look at November lying on stones. Little Matt.
Okay. We're going to need to bring some doo-wop on the next episode.
Oh, Lord. Let's not. How far are we right now? Like how much time?
Shit. Last time I checked, we was at like 45.
Oh, damn. We the first episode, we going in.
Yeah, we at 52.
I'm eating your burrito for dinner.
Nick, we can split it, baby.
Oh, cute. Because we're on the air. Somebody wants to be cute.
Nah, I've been feeling real bloated lately, y'all.
Yeah, I'm hella like, bloated.
I don't know, but we need to do that smooth move or something.
I don't know if I can do smooth move while I'm breastfeeding.
You got to Google it.
I don't want Stone blowing up his diapers because he got some of my... Shit.
Well, I wonder if it would be... Well, it would be the same as drinking then and just feed him the other bottles.
I don't want to waste those. I want those for when we go to LA. So we'll be in LA for Christmas, y'all.
Oh, yeah. We'll be taking our gear. So... We're gonna be consistent with our episodes.
We're getting this back season. On it. We're getting back on it. Well, we were consistent last season.
Oh yeah.
You know how like in the regular TV shows they leave for a whole goddamn summer.
You're right.
Okay, so that's all we did.
You're right.
Don't be mad.
So yeah, we'll be back in full effect, moving forward. So before we left, we recorded a podcast with a group of friends.
Oh, it was so good, you guys.
So good. We are still, with the move and everything, it kind of got in the way, but we are editing that and we're gonna push that out.
It was the couple's corner.
Yeah, couple's corner.
Basically, and it was us and two other couples, really good friends of mine, and we really got into it, and it was a great fucking conversation.
Yeah.
And I really hope that Michael finishes editing this shit. No, honestly, I think that he was just having a little trouble because we were using like multiple mics and, you know, shit got funny. So we're just trying to figure that out. And as soon as we figure it out, though, we're posting it because it was just, y'all need to hear this. Yeah. It was great.
And we want to do more of it, more of like couples corner type joints. And so we're going to make sure we get mics. I think we're going to get like the individual mics to put on people's collars.
Yeah.
And
soon also we are going to be connecting with T Brandistry. Okay. Well, yeah, don't do that. Our other homies, Tiana and David, they have an awesome YouTube channel. And so we're going to connect with them as well. Because we are living very similar lifestyles right now. So yeah. It'd be interesting to hear our different like take on what's, you know, like what life is like.
Yeah.
So that's coming soon too.
So we got a whole plethora of things planned out for y'all. We appreciate the love and support. And I know it's been a hiatus, but we're back. Season 2.
Yeah. And I got something to say real quick. I had, first off, I would like to send a shout out to Tiana and also to Black Inform on Instagram, David, because both of them really, for the last couple of days, kind of put it in my head that we really need to get back on this podcast. And so I'm really appreciative of that. Now, what I have to say is for everybody before who's mentioned or like talked about enjoying our podcast or, oh, what happened to the podcast? Oh, you guys need to record. Okay, so we're back. Do not be ghost in our fucking emails, okay? Right. Don't be ghost. All right, because I'm tired of hearing that we have listeners after the fact. Mm-hmm. Please be present in what is happening here. We like the interaction. We need the feedback. That's how we thrive. That's how the conversation goes. We need to be able to talk to people and get the conversation going so that he and I can, you know, get shit going. So please get in our emails, get in our DM, text me, whoever you are. If you're a close homie, a distant homie, if we've never spoken, if we've been in an argument 3 years ago. I don't fucking know. Get in my fucking DMs. Ask me a question. Give me your perspective. Let's go.
No secret listeners. All right. Y'all don't be lazy. You already listened to us for like an hour. Go ahead and just shoot a quick little message to us. All right.
We need it.
So that email is connect@thecontrast.la.
Damn. I forgot all that shit.
Yes.
Damn, we got to get back on our Instagram now. We went on like a... We probably don't have any followers now. But you need to go get the questions.
Girl, do you know who I is?
Damn, daddy came through. Look, he can't even find him. He all reaching around the couch. I was going to give you your props, but you can't even find the questions.
Well, there's somewhere.
Okay, I'm back.
Wow, y'all. That was like a good 12 minutes.
Whatever. I found them. I left them in the closet. Because we got closets and shit, y'all.
Man, we got mad closet space in this bitch. We got mad bathrooms in this bitch. Why are y'all still in L.A.? Why?
We paid $1,380.
We paid $1,380 for a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, washer and dryer, all updated, stainless steel appliances, hardwood floor, pool, 24-hour gym, parking space,
mm-hmm.
high ceilings, okay. nice lights, smart home technology. Y'all get the fuck out of here. And y'all wanted to, y'all living in LA, por qué?
Okay, what the hell was that? very true statements. Yeah. And the next step is going to be to buy some property, maybe a fourplex or something like that. Rent that out so we can move on to the next thing. Because what we want to do is travel.
That's all we want
to
do.
And to do that, we're going to need some coinage. But we don't really care about having a regular 9-to-5. So we gotta figure that out. And the more people who are like-minded, we need to start sharing information so that we can get up and get out and move something. All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. You want me to pick the top one?
Go ahead, because I know.
You reach, please. Dun, 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 dun. Whoa, Stone. Okay, y'all. So here we are back. Biggity back with the question of the week. And that question is, are my actions guided by love or fear?
How?
That's so funny.
How?
Because that's literally what we were talking about.
I even just mixed them up a little bit and top of the car, top of the deck.
It is a lot of cards. Yeah. Don't feel special.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'll repeat that question. Hey, Poppy. Are my actions guided by love or by fear? So hit us up, connect at thecontrast.la. You can hit us up on Instagram at thecontrastla. You can go to our website at www.thecontrast.la. You know, any of those forums, hit us up, DM us, email us, send me a text. My number is 323-4. Just kidding.
you can also hit me up on my personal IG, my photo page.
Is?
Black Slate Photography.
It doesn't sound very clear. Black Black Slate Photography.
Okay. Thank you, baby.
Don't get in his DMs, hoes, because I check them and I'll slap the shit out of it. No, I'm just kidding. And mine is Sun and Stone. So that is SUNNAND Stone. STONE. Sun and Stone. Sun with two N's. Did you get that? Okay, great. One more time with the question.
One more time. One more again.
Are my actions guided by love or are they guided by fear?
Mm.
All right. So hit us up with your answers. We're going to review them on our next podcast, get into a little chatty chat and get this shit rolling. You hear me?
Yeah. We appreciate y'all for coming back, listening. Stay tuned. All right. We got a lot in store for you.
All right, bitches. Peace.